Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
America Meditating Radio Show, we collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts 24/7. Hi, I'm Sister Jenna. Join me and guests on Blog Talk Radio as we amplify stories that compel us to be more for ourselves and everyone else around us. Do you like to meditate? Have you tried to meditate? Have you struggled with meditation? Why don't you visit one of the Brahma Kumaris Meditation Center? Visit brahmakumaris.org.
The Azhar Foundation for Children of the World is an organization aimed to support women and children in need across the globe. We believe in empowering lives, strengthening minds, and providing programs that enrich health and education. The Azhar Foundation was founded in 2003 and has been serving the world ever since. Visit us at our website at www.azharforchildren.org. That's www.azhar4children.org to find out more information about our endeavors and join our mailing list. Remember, the smile and the cry of a child doesn't have any language. The Azhar Foundation.
I want to show you something.
Each day around the world, 5,000 people are infected with HIV.
That was over 20 years ago.
We've come a long way in the science and treatment of HIV.
But the disease hasn't gone away.
So why aren't we talking about it?
Today, we have the tools to make HIV history.
Let's finish what we started.
Because the world needs you to live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna, and we're broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museum in Tysons Corner, Virginia. Well, I hope everyone's hanging in there. It's been an incredible few days since January 20th, and we're holding tight and we're standing strong and we're continuing to move forward. And please, everyone, if you've got any thoughts about the Obamacare healthcare program and legislation or whatever is happening with Paul Ryan, we got a message today. Please go and call him, answer the questionnaires to find out if it's a good or not a good thing. I know that they had given a number out. It turned out that the number was not the correct number or the number was discontinued. So what I would do is definitely try to find a way to get into the office and try to make sure that you are a part of this process. As you know, last week there was quite an expression of people's concerns about their well-being and the future in which they're going towards. And so millions of people, not only in this country but across the world, stood up for their virtues and their values and things that they really, really deeply believed in. And I sense that there's just something going on in our spirits. There is something in our spirit that is being called or that's being touched. And I was getting ready and I was speaking to Reverend Sumter from Unity Church, and I said to Reverend Sumter, I said, you know, Scott, there's something that we've got to understand. Why is it a global concern? And we were really realizing that there is a deep need for us to reconnect to the source. And I was recently at the wonderful book launch for Mr. President, that was the title of the book, which was a brainchild of the Reverend Dr. Daryl Sims, who we'll be having a heart-to-heart conversation with. And there was a rabbi that shared at the end of her speak at the National Press Club that the question we must ask ourselves today is, what is your source? I want you to stay tuned because we're going to explore the conversation at a deeper level. Because no matter how much we try to move into the direction of left or right, up or down, black or white, rich or poor, Hindu or Muslim, Christian or Jew, you know, it's not going to ever, the answer will not come from a place of a label. It's going to come from an experience. And there was something about Rabbi's question, what's at your source, that I want to have a heart-to-heart conversation more on. So for all of us to get to the source, and stay tuned because we're going to, this morning I made a decision that we're going to launch and give for free our Letting Go Meditation CD, which I feel really, really takes us to an experience of the source. So take a deep breath and let's get centered. And then after that, we'll have a heart-to-heart conversation with Reverend Sims. Take a deep breath. Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. It's about connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. And observe yourself feeling nameless. Let go of your gender to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme Soul. in the state of absolute freedom. I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, pure, immortal, and eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. At this time, welcome back, everybody. That was Letting Go from my Off the Grid Into the Heart Meditation CD, and that's the track I will be releasing very soon as a free gift to our humanity, with the aim and the intention to bring us closer to our source. And earlier on, I want to correct my conversation on the air about calling Congressman Paul Ryan's office, and please share your thoughts about the Affordable Care Act in terms of how you stand on that. And the phone number, the one that they have posted, it was either busy and says it can take no more calls, but the number that we have now is 202-225-3031. You can also go online on his website and find out more. As I've been mentioning to everyone, this is the age that we have to stay very vigilant about some of the laws that are being passed or introduced, and a lot of things can just be swept right under our noses without us knowing, because we're not engaged. And so we are being called into a culture of citizenship more than ever before. Well, I'm very thrilled to welcome Reverend Darrell Sims, who is a pastor and Christian educator and entrepreneur. He earned a Master of Divinity degree from Howard University's School of Divinity in 1999 and endeavors to epitomize the best of the 21st century African-American preacher. Reverend Sims founded and currently operates his own self-publishing company, MMGI Books, and has authored Adam Come Home, Liberating the Minds of Black Men. He and Dr. Barbara Williams Skinner recently launched a book entitled Mr. President, The Interfaith Perspectives on the Historic Presidency of Barack H. Obama. Now, Reverend Sims has become nationally recognized as a conduit for providing spiritual and social renewal for African American men, and provides workshops around the country for empowerment and as well as healing. He has also worked with a variety of schools, organizations in the area of conflict resolution. So as you can see, Reverend Sim has been very engaged in trying to make our world a better place. Today, we're proud to welcome the Reverend Darrell Sims on the air. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. I know you've been busy all day today, and I know, knowing the passionate person that I met at the National Press Club recently, you must be holding your spirit in, but also allowing your spirit to rise up to see how best we can keep maintaining maybe perhaps the highest values and virtues in ourselves first, and especially as a religious and a spiritual person, but also in the leadership, you know, that we're witnessing today. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, I would say that's true. I also would say that we're not seeing anything that we haven't seen before. And I would go so far as to say, no matter what comes our way, we are already equipped for it. Now the big question really becomes implementing what we already know to do, how to be, what to say. I would even go so far as to say that I believe something great is going to happen within the community, the global community, people who want to see what is right take place from a moral standpoint. We are witnessing now a revival of the conscious, and what really supersedes, overrides, go deeper than any man-made document that we can read. There's a spiritual reality, a formation that sometimes will not surface until conditions suggest that they do. Martin Luther King said it best. There are some things we just will not grapple with until we are conscious of it even existing. And so there are many people, white, black, Hispanic, Roman Catholic, Muslim, Jewish, they're really tired of the rhetoric of racism. And they feel a sense of duty that overrides what they're most comfortable with in terms of ethnicity, in terms of religion, and they want to do something about it. So in your opening credits about, you know, people taking a stance and making the phone calls and being involved, it is important. I think all groups have a responsibility to do what they can do. I would not suggest any one group can solve all of the problems, but my philosophy is simple. If I can just handle my little corner, mm-hmm. and other people take care of their little corner, eventually we get a community, you know, right. and then eventually right. we get a whole neighborhood. So I write, speak, I try to help people be aware of the reality that they are much larger than what their circumstance would say that they are.
I love that.
And,
I love that.
With that in mind, I'll be quiet for a second.
Don't be. I know that you're presently enrolled in a PhD program, you know, with a concentration in ethical and creative leadership. With all of the competing interests in this country, the diverse constituencies that elected leaders have to address while aspiring to maybe win future elections, you know the game better than anyone else. Is it really possible for us in these times to have ethical leadership, even though what I'm witnessing is a great need for that to be an emergence?
Well, the whole craft, art, reality of a PhD is a philosophy. So, uh-huh. so I think what we are striving for, or what most people strive for, is may not be perfection, but at least a consciousness of what is right and wrong. And let's try to do something about it. But to answer your question directly, I do believe there are some ethical people out there. I believe leadership in different pockets on different levels. The whole nature, if I may tilt it to talk about politics, it's about compromise. So now one may raise the question, can a politician be ethical? I'm not here to answer that, but I am here to say that there's a lot of negotiating and compromising, and you try to get as much done as possible for hopefully the least of them. But then you have competing interests, and you have some people that have a doctrine of domination and supremacy. So what they feel may be ethical is to help those that believe in dominating others. So for them, ethics becomes something else. And then it's just then when it comes there to going into the church or in the religious community, you know, ethical could be doing more talking than doing. And that's not going to really help a lot of people. So it becomes a personal thing, an individual thing, and hopefully enough individuals with the moral fiber to try to help the lost, the confused, the and what have you, can come together. But there have always been, and there probably will always be, competing forces, and that's what makes the world really go around. And I was told and taught a plane cannot ascend without the resistance of the wind. So now it becomes a question of being organized, being mobilized, and being intentional in that which we do. So case in point, then it's a good time to prepare for the 2020 election today. Now is the time. Not 18
yesterday.
Months
preparing for that yesterday, right?
Yesterday. You're right. So,
Reverend Sims, can I share with you something that's been emerging? Just in Washington alone last week and around the globe, there was an incredible movement called the Women's Movement. And there were individuals that emerged for different reasons. 600 events around the globe, millions of people participated. Some people say it was anti a particular president. Some people said it was anti this, it was anti that. And then I spoke to a few individuals who I consider intelligent, One said she was writing a book to talk about how the Women's March missed the mark. The other one said to me, well, I don't know what was the point of all of this. I don't know what was... And I just keep pausing because I hold a very neutral standpoint in my observation of things in life because I want to keep getting my answers when I'm connected to the source. And I couldn't help but question, what is it that they're seeing that I'm not? Because for me, I saw an incredible amount of solidarity, unity, courage, strength, individuals who are saying, we're not alone, fear will not retard me and make me not speak up for what I believe is true. You know, can we talk about this a little bit? Because I know how engaged you are in the faith community and how engaged you also are in not necessarily the political community, but in the community of activating people that you know in the area that you know to be engaged in your country. What are your thoughts about what we're witnessing in terms of why is it that people are seeing things so differently at this time?
Well, I definitely cannot speak for any other person, but I can say this much. People are tired of the hypocrisy of democracy.
Mm-hmm.
They're raising questions. How can someone lose the election but win popular votes? How can someone, whether he did or he didn't, I don't know, cut a deal or what have you to get the electoral votes and become the president of a democratic society? I say that to say this. People are more conscious, and we've been told, taught, conditioned to trust the leadership of democracy in general, whether you're Republican, Independent, or Democrat. I'm talking about the democracy, the notion of democracy. And now people are saying, we can't trust it anymore. Mm-hmm. Many people, not all. And now they're saying, also, we have to do something about it. Now, this is when the gray area comes into being. Some would say marching is good, but it's not enough.
Nothing.
Because you have not affected policy. Now, those that will criticize women coming together, if they have, that I would think that they're doing it because, okay, you're here. You're 600,000 plus strong. But what are you going to do? What happens on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday after you're gone? What policies have been affected? What are you doing? So coming together is good. But then you have to do something when you come together. I'm not saying riot or anything like that, but I am saying you have to stay on top of the agendas that are being pushed from the people that know two things. One, they know how to talk a good game and be loud at it at the same time. And two, they know how legislation comes into place. And so therefore, it can be fewer people controlling the masses because they understand how, watch this, the game goes, the game being mm-hmm. a political game that allow people, one person to say prayer should be taken out of the classroom and people have agendas behind that, and this person wins. I mean, you can pray in the Senate, but you can't pray in the classroom. Again, the mm-hmm. hypocrisy of democracy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I hear you. I hear that very loud and clear. And I have to tell you, on Monday morning, the Women's March sent out 10 actions for the first 100 days, and they had clearly outlined to people what was the next steps to do, which is to be involved with the political system. For everybody there, I'm thinking about all the millions of people that actually did step out to speak up for something strong, that now they woke up Monday morning with numbers to call, with agendas that are on the plate, and with them getting active in the community. So I really wish them well. I want to talk about your book that you launched, which I had the fortune of being with you at the National Press Club. It was attended by a diverse group of interfaith leaders. And could you share with our listeners a little bit about how the book came about and the process that it took you to collect so many faith leaders' voice in a book in such a short time?
Well, yes, and thank you for asking that question. I actually was attending a retirement gathering for a great guy, Kane Hope Felder, the New Testament professor at Howard University School of Divinity, and listening again to the rhetoric of people saying how they want to dismantle, erase the legacy of President Barack H. Obama, and being a publisher and being a PhD student, I'm looking at how history is written, and it's so skewed. I'm coming across writings that I had never even heard of before, people that were against slavery and lost their life that was not the same color as I am or the same hue. So now there are heroes of all kinds in terms of nationality and ethnicity that fought for slavery being ended, as well as there are those who fought hard to keep it going. You take that, and I come into today's time and climate, and I said to Barbara Williams Skinner, we need to put something together because we know they're going to mount an attack on his legacy, and I want people of different backgrounds, religious backgrounds, and also ethnicities to talk about what they loved and even disliked about President Barack Obama. And so therefore, this is not a White House-approved book. This is something that I wanted to be true to people voicing their concerns, their likes, dislikes, disappointment, as well as things they just marveled and enjoyed about our president. So after talking with Barbara, she said she needed to pray, which I thank God for that. You need someone to help you out to know something about prayer. She provided the first listing of preachers and faith leaders to contact. And then after she helped me, Angelique Walker-Smith helped me, and our mutual friend, Reverend George Holmes. So the three of them, along with the people that I know, we went out there and put the clarion call out to say, give us a 500-word or 750-word perspective on what you think of the president. And we allowed the topics to surface or emerge, and that's how we put the table of content together in terms of what people chose to write about. And a lot of people, of course, wrote about the historic moment and the reality of it. One wrote about JFK being the first Catholic president, and he compared it to President Obama being the first African-American. And then we also had the reality of President Barack Obama being a role model. So that surfaced as well. Otis Moss Jr. wrote about a true family portrait. In fact, in his particular reflection, he said, your adversaries talk so much about talk so much about family values, but then when you took office and you lived out what they put in theory, they stopped talking about it. So you had different sections, politics of race, his legislative agenda, as well as the legacy itself and what it meant. Mm-hmm. So you had people, and then there was one section I love talking about called Behind the Scenes. These were people that were praying for the president from day one and all the things that were happening behind the scenes that we, the public, did not know about. In fact, I'll even go so far as share this with you. My number one editor is a Caucasian male, and as he were editing the reflections, he just broke down and cried, saying we didn't know all this was going on. We didn't know that he was facing this. And what he said, these are his words, what I admire about the president is that he never allowed them to let him lose his cool or sway from his temperament. And that's not something we can say for many other presidents of the United States.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, how did you, Reverend Sims, get involved with your publishing company? Because I think the competition's nowadays so, so intense. And your publishing company is MMGI Books. What was it that inspired you to start it?
Well, two things. MMGI Books is the self-publishing arm of what I do. The book, Mr. President, is the first book under the new label called Sims Publishing Group. And MMGI Books came into being because I was under contract with an established publishing group organization, been around for over 100 years. And this little skinny guy that goes by the name of, at that point in time, Senator Barack Obama, decided he wanted to run for president of the United States. And when people started attacking his president with sound bites, this particular company decided that they did not want to publish a third book that I was doing with them. I had a contract with them to do 3 books, and they didn't want to do the 3rd book because they were getting a lot of pressure being associated with President Barack Obama's pastor at that time. And they said to me, Reverend Sims, we will publish the book, but not with his pastor in it. And I just felt that that was totally out of line, out of order with who I am as a man, as well as a Christian. And understanding how the media was taking sound bites. If you, I don't want to get into it, but if people would listen to more than just the sound bites, and listen to the content as well as the context of the full sermons this individual was preaching, you will see what he was really trying to say. And if you take that along with the tradition of black preaching, then you know what he was really saying. So I don't want to get away from it too much, but they turned me down. They did not want the book. And I called that particular preacher, and in his vintage voice, and his brilliance, he said to me, Daryl Sims, who collected the sermons? Well, I did. Daryl Sims, who know the preachers? Well, I do. Daryl Sims, who edited the sermons? I did. Well, Daryl Sims print the sermon. And that's how MMGI Books came into being. And what's amazing, if I may say this, if I had known that 8 years later, I would be the one chosen of God to bring this instrument, because that's what it is. This book is really an instrument. It's not just a collection of reflections. It's an instrument to go up against toe-to-toe, battle-to-battle, whether it's David against Goliath or not, with the manner in which people will use printed material to paint a picture of something that is not true. If I had known back then that I was hurt, I was disappointed, and I was angry, if I had known back then that all of that disappointment would lead to this opportunity, I would have accepted the challenge, so to speak, with a smile, but I was very bitter. But like so many things in life, when it comes to your spiritual formation, that which makes you bitter has the potential to also make you better. It's not about what happened to you. It's about how you perceive the value. But that's another. That's another conversation. I don't want
to. I cannot imagine.
That's how MMGI Books came into being, an established publishing company, would not publish President Barack Obama's pastor at that time.
Wow. Well, congratulations to you for your strength and standing up and persevering, because I've noticed that when you bump into certain walls or obstacles or certain negativities from people, it could sometimes just silence you, and it can just detract you and pull you back. But for some of us, it just becomes actually, I would say, an assistance to saying, oh, no, I know that I've got a whole lot more of God's energy in me, and I know that I could use this energy more to, you know, push forward what I think is true and something that he would smile on if he saw it in action down below.
Well, yes, I mean, my mother raised me as a single mother, and I was the eldest son of 7 children. And she would always say to me, Daryl, you have to learn how to hear the 5th word. I'm like, what are you talking about, the 5th word? And she would always say, a person will speak 4 words, but there's a 5th word in which they will not speak, but you have to learn to hear it. Now, I don't understand at 9, 10, 11, 12 what she was talking about, but she's talking about discernment. And I say that to say this. I have learned that one's problem or one's pain has the potential to be the platform to help bring forth God's power. Now, if you take pain and you deal with it, it becomes pain. It's unbearable most times. But if you feel pain, experience pain, and you have a source that's greater than you, then now that pain becomes the platform to springboard you into a sense of power and destiny that goes beyond your understanding. So my prayer has been, Lord, I want to do books, that will be read 100 years from now. That's my motto. As a Christian, John chapter 2 is what I base pretty much everything I do on. The mother said, listen to him. So you listen, you go get the barrels, whatever they may be. You fill the barrels with water. You bring the filled barrels of water to your source. You allow your source to touch it, and then you disseminate that which he turns it into. So my plan was very simple, Sister Gina. I will go get as many preachers as I can to say something about this president. I will bring these things and put them together, but all that I am empowered to do, hire the editors, hire the graphic designers, hire the person that's going to what they call typeset the book. Now, after I do that, I bring it to my source and say, now is your turn. It's your turn. So you touch it and you send it where it wants to go. But be ready, because when you're sent, it's not always friendly fire that you're going to come across.
So true. So true. Amen. Well, in your book, Mr. President, I had the fortune of contributing a small part that shared on my interpretation of President Obama, which for me was a man of virtues in the way that he led the country. As we come to a close of our conversation today, what would you say is the main virtue that is needed in America? I know. I've been thinking about it myself.
I'm not always stalked. I'm a Baptist preacher that can really, really talk sometimes. But I'm not sure. I think it's time for America to be honest with herself. I think it's time for all sides to come to the table and say, this is how I feel. This is what I think you have done as an injustice to me. But this is the common agenda as we go forward. Because, yeah, I think I would hang my hat right there. We must be honest. I was accidentally invited to a meeting at the press club by a group of religious leaders that made it crystal clear that they wanted President-elect, now President Trump, to go after a certain segment of Muslims. And when it was all said and done, I went to the leader of that organization and said, you said that you want President Donald Trump to go after this group of people because you want him to deal with people that are terrorist groups, foreign and domestic. And I raised a question to this leader, who is definitely to the right, and I said, what about the terrorist group inside of America that attack Americans? I said, I am an African-American male from the south side of Chicago, and right now if I drive through North Carolina or South Carolina in my little car, because it's a halfway decent car, I'll get pulled over on a suspicion of anything crazy. And if I don't acquiesce to everything that's said, I can be shot, killed, and nothing happens. That's a part of America that needs to be addressed. So let us be honest with one another and say, as we're trying to tell people how to clean their house, we have some cleaning in our own house that needs to be done. That's if the intent is to clean your house. Because there are some people that like a junky house.
That's very powerful. And I'm going to agree with you that the virtue I've also selected, Reverend Sims, is honesty. That we're living in an age of deception. And because there's such untruths going back and forth, if we don't find our truth within ourselves and go to our source, you know, the divine, so that we can be truthful with him and with the self, I don't know how we're going to be able to pass through this murky atmosphere that is definitely very prevalent in our narrative today. So I'm with you on the virtue of honesty. I think that's all we need right now, because I don't know how we're going to understand what's going on in front of us.
Yeah, you're right. You're so right.
So, So leave our listeners with some more information about where they can find the book and purchase the book. I know that a lot of friends have reached out to me and I've sent them the link to your website, but I'd love for you to share any particular place that they can go directly just to order the book online or in a bookstore, perhaps?
What I wanted to do was be a good steward of this book, and I know people have different intentions and things, so it's only available in one place. That is www.simspublishinggroup.com. I have decided to make it available on Amazon probably another 2 weeks, but right now the orders are coming in at such a rate that we're kind of reserving the first 5,000 books for people that are ordering it through our website, but Amazon probably will have it in 2 weeks. So simspublishinggroup.com.
Beautiful. Reverend Sims, thank you so much for your contribution to our humanity, and let's keep making God's presence more apparent in our planet, yeah?
Yes. I thank you so much for inviting me, Sister Jean, and I hear great things about you, so God continue to bless you as well in the things that you are doing and the contribution that you are making to humanity. I thank you for being you.
Thank you, my dear brother. We're in this together. Take care.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So as you heard from Reverend Sims, the virtue of honesty, America, I really think it's this specific virtue that perhaps will lead us to some sort of an empowerment, truth, and sense of real inner freedom. You know, when it comes on to our own internal freedom, we question that if we are finding it challenging from somebody else on the outside. Let's say if somebody lies to us and we get really angry with them, I always say, well, they're just signaling to me what dishonesty looks like or feels like. So then I will check myself to see, you know, where I am and what I'm about. So let's give this some thought. Is honesty the virtue needed for America at this time? Let's give it a try. And please go and find a copy of Mr. President, The Interfaith Perspectives on the Historic Presidency of Barack H. Obama. It's at simspublishinggroup.com/Mr.President. You could do it. simspublishinggroup.com/Mr.President. Thank you so much for joining us on the air today. I can't say goodbye unless we allow our beautiful sister Gita to share with us one of her readings that she does. And she just pinged me in the studio about reading something on honesty. So I'm like, this was really fast for her to have gotten that. Sister Gita, what have you got for us on honesty as you were sharing?
Good day. Om Shanti is a greeting of peace. And I'm going to be honest and ask for your forgiveness whilst I cleanse my throat from a little cough. So, Companion of God is the title of this book, and the virtue of honesty, which has to do with love and relationships. Love is connected to virtues. Virtues create love, both within the self and within others. When virtues reduce, the quality of love also reduces. When all virtues are present, there is complete and pure love. Out of all the virtues, the main one is honesty. If we don't feel someone is being honest with us, our love breaks. Whether it be my mother, father, husband, wife, or friend, if we feel that they are being dishonest, love breaks. In terms of our relationship with God, if we're honest with God, we will draw His love. We will get so much light. If we are not, however, that love will not be felt. Even if we have no other virtue than this one of honesty, we will be able to draw God's love. We will be able to improve the world. We will be able to create peace in the world. So see the importance of being honest. Om Shanti, have a contemplative, prayerful day on your honesty. It is there. It is just suppressed because a little bit of fear has covered up that honesty. Okay? Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Sister Geeta. You always know how to take us into that space. My dear friends, please stay awake, stay engaged, do your best to be as honest as possible, and let us keep moving our narratives upwards and beyond. I'm going to end today's conversation by Sarah McLaughlin, Instruments of Peace. Take care, everybody.
Of your peace, where there is hatred, let me sow love.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.